This is the Front Page on Radio Free 102.3 KJLH. And here's Don Day.
We're making room for a special, special guest today. She's a strategic communicator, facilitator, entrepreneur, and now producer. Her name is Kenya Parham. And she's producing a series on the Food Network. It's called The Kwanzaa Menu. Hi, hello. And it stars her sister, Tanya Hopkins, who will be discussing African-American food traditions while providing a menu for each of the 7 days of Kwanzaa. Aren't you familiar with Kwanzaa? I'm going to be honest. I remember as a kid, a friend of mine, she would, her mother, during the holiday season, I know there were candles and things have represented each color, but as far as my household, we didn't do Kwanzaa. So this will be an eye-opener for me. And you know I'm all about making room, okay? What we're going to talk about right now and continue this conversation, we're talking about legacy. Building and growing and exceeding more. And we have a woman right now who is not only shining in her legacy, but she's amplifying ours. And being that we are a legacy station and knowing that we are you, I want to remind you that we have Miss Kenya T. Parham in studio. And she's talking about her agents, her consulting agency, the Legacy Firm. And it's been tapped by major production studios. And it's all about engagement strategy on award-winning films. And listen, she's stomping with some big dogs. We're talking about studios like MGM and Annapurna Pictures, Warner Brothers, Lionsgate, Amazon, Discovery Plus. I mean, this is just to name a few. And this is all about streamlining an authentic message of marketing and impacting campaigns. And she's using her experience in the political realm with dealing with disenfranchised communities to shed light on our story. How does that sound, Ms. Parham?
It sounds like legacy.
Hey, legacy, legacy. It sounds like you.
Like excellency. How long? You know?
What to say? Just let us see. What is it?
Don't listen. Are we? Okay.
I know.
It's about to get hype.
Right.
That's the energy. You told me it was coming. There it is. It just shot up in my mouth. I'm good. There it is. I got it.
So we stepped off the break and I told our audience that you're going to be talking about a Kwanzaa menu.
Yes.
And we left off you talking about the Legacy Forum. Mm-hmm. And now you've taken your firm to the Food Network and you've brought your sister and your sister and your dad along. Tell us about what's happening here.
Yeah. Well, let me just correct, you know, I am the youngest of two. So my older sister actually brought me in on this one. You know, what I do for my day to day in my consulting agency just happened to synergize with an amazing opportunity that landed in my sister's inbox. My sister, Tanya Hopkins, herself was an advertising executive some years back. And then also transitioned her career into being a food and drink historian and culinary consultant. And her life's work right now is, you know, focused on reconnecting Black culinary contributions into American foodways.
Wow.
And so, you know, her study and scholarship has, you know, helped to uncover and redirect course correct, you know, culinary contributors like James Hemings, Thomas Jefferson's, you know, classically trained chef, who served him in the White House, who is responsible for why we enjoy things like meringue and French fries and ice
Shut
cream
the front
and,
door.
And mac and cheese in America. So she's a part of a really amazing group of culinary chroniclers who are responsible for, you know, redirecting those pathways. And so when the Food Network came knocking, because her work is so notable, and presented her with this opportunity, she was like, you know what? You're going to get a 2-for-1. I got something for you. And, you know, I love my sister and I have watched her work, like many folks who endeavor to do things for the first time, go overlooked for a long time. And we've been praying and working hard for that one shot. And this was that opportunity. And so I gave it everything I could. And I came with the best of what I knew. So, of course, we had to bring through.
Come on. Come through.
They said you show up. Everybody, you know. I was like, oh, we doing this? We doing this. So we gave it the best that we got. And I feel amazing about this project and what audiences are going to see when they receive it, the first ever series on Kwanzaa on Food Network, is a real display of not just Black excellence, but family and community and an wow. explanation of a holiday that I think a lot of Black Americans don't know a lot about,
right.
Or perhaps felt disconnected from. And what we endeavored to show is that it's actually an amazing cultural, not religious, holiday that is adaptable. You know, you can make it your own. And it's an amazing invitation to end our year and begin our year with intention and affirmation.
Mm.
And so, you know, that's what we endeavored to show. And I'm excited for people to receive it.
God, dog, that was good. I had like 50 billion questions. And I was like, Dawn, wait, don't say nothing. Wait.
And I'm just, you know, I want to thank you again for allowing me to come on air and speak with you about this.
One thing that Dawn Day gonna do is make some damn room. Okay?
Thank you.
Make room for any and everybody that has something to say to show up. Because I believe when you show up, you have the ability to show out. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. I'm gonna let that bad boy shine. And right now you're shining with the Kwanzaa menu.
Thank you.
And it's premiering December 26th.
Yes.
On foodnetwork.com.
Yes. So it's a digital series. It's a digital series. They wanted to, Food Network endeavored, this series, we are number 5 in the menu series. Also, you know, produced and directed by the amazing Cecile Dyer of Best Wishes Studios. Cecile and her team found Tanya and sent the inquiry for her to be a part of the project. And then what's so amazing, and I have to talk about Cecile for a second. Cecile is an amazing friend and ally, and was very clear that this is a story that I want to tell, and she has told other stories. She produced and directed the Lunar New Year menu. They did a Juneteenth menu. They did a Diwali menu.
Wow.
And so, you know, Cecile is super down, all right? And Cecile is like, listen, if I'm going to be bringing these stories to light, I'm clear that these are not my stories, but I'm going to make sure that the storytellers are front and center. And so I was not a part of the original deal with this. This was my sister's, you know, time to shine, and shine she did. But when Cecile and I connected and she recognized that I had some things to contribute, she
that strategic communication.
She pulled up that chair and she was like, you know what, you want to do this with me? And I'm so grateful for that. And I have to shout her out, because so many times we are left outside of the glass with our nose pressed up against it, wanting to contribute or feeling like, when is my time going to come? And Cecile was like, you know what? I'm going to create room.
Yes.
And so it's because of her and my sister that I was attached to this project, and had no idea that I would end up writing the episodes and getting producer credit and being talent into episodes as well. But here we are.
However, you know, I'm not surprised, because you told me that you were preparing yourself for a new thing.
That's right.
And so a new thing shows up, and it's simple in the scripture. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. We have to remind ourselves, faith without works are dead. What are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
So now with you, you said one thing, people aren't as familiar with Kwanzaa is. And you started out the gate. You said, Dawn, anything anybody has restricted me from, especially when it comes down to books, I want more of it.
I need all of it.
Because we know that there's value in that. What do they say? Get off the clearance rack and get behind the glass where the valuables are.
Mm.
And now you're controlling what is seen on the glass. So let's talk about it. Why is Kwanzaa important when we talk about Black families in the community?
Oh, man. Well, firstly, a lot of people don't know that Kwanzaa was created and founded in Southern California. Southern California is the birthplace of Kwanzaa.
Shut the front door.
It is. Dr. Milana Karenga, who is currently a chair of Africana Studies at Cal State University, Long Beach, is the founder of Kwanzaa. And so I'm a Southern California baby, and you know, have been celebrating Kwanzaa my entire life. You know, and Kwanzaa was a cultural holiday that was created also as kind of coming out of the response from the Watts Rebellion, right? There was a community cry out for, you know, more things to sustain and seed and support ourselves. The university that my father leads, Cal State University Dominguez Hills, was also one of the creations and community responses out of that same rebellion. And so Kwanzaa is basically a 7-day stretch at the end of the year, beginning December 26th and ending on January 1st, where it's an invitation for Black Americans to reflect on 7 principles. They call them the Nguzu Saba. And the 7 principles, are written in Kiswahili, so the Swahili language. And the principles are representative of, themes like unity, creativity, collective work and responsibility, cooperative economics, faith,
everything
purpose,
that's meant to bring us together.
All of those things, right? So just think about it, right? Everybody now want to set intentions and do it for the gram and write all that stuff. Dr. Karanga knew in the 60s and 70s, he was like, listen, y'all, these are these principles. And I received it as somebody who was taught it from birth. I received it as an invitation, a blueprint for how we could be living our lives. Imagine if Black folks took those principles as our own, right? And said, you know what? Every day I'm going to walk in unity. Every day I'm going to keep cooperative economics and collective work and responsibility at the forefront of my mind. I'm going to inform my business decisions by those principles. When I'm confronted with things that challenge who I am, I'm going to keep those principles at the forefront. Imagine what our community would look like. That's why I love Kwanzaa so
much. Come on, vision. They say without a vision, the people will perish. So I got to ask you.
Yeah.
What's in your vision? Not what you see, what's in your vision. Mm-hmm. I'm talking beyond sight. So it's interesting. How does food play a role when we talk about Kwanzaa? Are there certain things you should be eating throughout these 7 days?
So here's the cool part, right? So my sister actually wrote the Oxford Encyclopedia entry on Kwanzaa like 15 years ago, okay, on foods that are associated with Kwanzaa. She's been studying this for a long time. And one of the best things that I love about being a part of the next generation charged with, are you going to fulfill that legacy or betray it, right, is you get to examine what those who came before us and who are still here did, and we get to take the best of that and take it a step further, right? And so in her study, what she realized is that while there's Kwanzaa is an amazing blueprint, it wasn't necessarily as specific with the food.
What do you mean by that?
Well, we know as well. Let me compare it. Right. So a lot of people think that Kwanzaa is a religious holiday because it takes place during the same time as other religious holidays. Right. During that time. Right. Mm-hmm. We know that in the Jewish community, Hanukkah and other holidays of theirs, they have specific foods that are associated with their celebrations, right? As a Black community, Black Americans who arrived in this country and were intentionally stripped from our heritage, right? Food and the foods that we eat, what we eat and why we eat it, we've had an interesting relationship with that our entire existence
in
America.
Exactly, it has really affected us.
And so when we gather, whether for the good times or the challenging times, we tend to lean into what we know is as soul food, right? Mm. Now, our creative adaptation of what was given to us, we've made amazing things from that, right? But what I love about my sister's work is that she's always, challenged that Black food is beyond slavery, it's beyond the South, and it's beyond soul food. Whether we've been able to make amazing things out of the scraps from Master's Table is one thing.
Come on.
Right? But understanding that historically, the food that is naturally of the continent, right, a lot of it is plant-based. Hmm. A lot of it looks like things like hibiscus and nutmeg and cinnamon, right? It looks like items like spirulina, right? Trendy items that we think, Lake Chad is one of the biggest natural cultivations of spirulina in the entire world. Who would have known, right? Things like sesame seeds, bene, right? Of the continent, naturally of the continent. And so even though Kwanzaa doesn't give like a specific, this is what you eat on this day, what we tried to do with this series is provide a creative interpretation and adaptation for offerings of other things that we can eat that are just as culturally affirmative.
Come on.
As the fried chicken, the mac and cheese, the greens. And we do have greens on the menu, y'all. We do have black eyed peas on the menu. We can't correct, okay? We did, all right? We ain't over, all right? We did it right, okay? But we also wanted to just, you know, kind of be a little bit more creative and show that that's also black food. Black food isn't just this box that
I'm so
we are
glad
told
you said that.
What it is, you know?
When I lived in New York and I was an assistant to this other radio personality, I was with Jeremiah is how his support is for me. And we were in the studio and we were talking about soul food. And I said, I don't think us as black people, we have a food that's our own. They're like, what you talking about? They got soul food. You go down to New Orleans. I said, but that doesn't represent our culture. That is simply like how you said, somebody gave us something, we had to create something, but not something that's natively to our home, because essentially we've been stripped of that, right? And so for you to talk these things, and I'm sitting here taking a glance at the Kwanzaa menu, like you're talking about hibiscus, and I see that, you know, that can deal with unity and how we understand that there's life in food, a lot of the healing properties in food.
Absolutely.
And we are developing at a point, and I'm going to have someone from the medical field coming up, where we are developing so many diseases because of the food that we're putting in our body.
Yep. Number one reason why I decided to switch my life in 2017 and go plant-based was because I needed to feel more connected. I needed to have a direct through line between my mind, my heart, and my body. And I needed to make sure that I was living and feeding and self-medicating with food in a way that aligned with what it is that I wanted to do.
Come on.
And in that transition, I realized that that was also authentically black. Being plant-based is not a diversion from black culture. It is a lot of black cultures across the diaspora have foods and dishes that are inherently plant-based. They're not slapping it with a vegan label. It just is.
That's what it is.
Right? And so that was also a reclamation and an invitation for me to recognize that even though I went plant-based, and that is an extreme discipline and a challenge every day to make that choice. My taste buds still work, y'all.
Hello, Savannah.
Okay, so it is a daily dedication.
But it's a dedication. It's like we have to continue to move with intention.
Mm-hmm.
I love food. I love the color, the texture, the taste. I love it all. If you want me, feed me. However, there was a point that I had to really adjust my relationship when it comes to food.
Yeah.
And similar as you echo, when it came down, it was my me time. It was my moment to digress. I have a busy day. And then when I had my food, it was mine. But then, like you said, what are we feeding?
Mm-hmm.
When I had the lights cut on for real, remember I shared with y'all like probably like my first or second week in your ear, I was saying how when I found out I had that blood clot. And then when I found out it was like I had a whole situation with fibroids and things like that. A lot of this charged with me having to change my diet. And I went up there and hit, what's his last name? Oh, Moore. He got this company. It's called Beyond Vegan Eats. A black man. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner offer smoothies and snacks. And I'm looking at your menu. I see smoothies on here.
Yeah.
But I had to take charge of my body because what happened is the food that I was feeding myself was feeding my fibroids that was not supporting me. And it has to come to a point that you got to check yourself before you wreck yourself. Now, I did that in the long. I remember I was telling y'all yesterday about Mr. Lee over at Green Farm Nutrition right off of La Brea and Pico. I took some herbs and stuff. And when I say I had crippling cramps, like I couldn't get out the bed, I have nothing now because I'm human, because we making room for people to be human. You know, my diet isn't all the way left, but I'm no longer vegan, although I don't mind. I think it's something I would balance into. I do keep it top of mind of the different herbs and stuff I'm putting in my body and limiting or just moving with more intention about the food.
And that's what this menu is. You know, we took a real close look at if we wanted to celebrate 7 days, right, with intention, what are we doing and what are we consuming throughout? So Kwanzaa always starts with an offering, a libation, right? They call it the unity cup, right? On day one, you fill that unity cup up and you know, not just pour out of it and give thanks and pay homage to those who passed before, but also it's an opportunity for everybody pre-COVID times to sip out of the same cup.
Right.
Right. And so we wanted to offer and create a drink, right? That was a two-way offering. So we've got an amazing mock mulled wine, no alcohol.
Well, then why are you calling it wine?
Mock
Mock, hello, somebody. Operative
mock,
word, catch it.
Mock mulled wine, right? But it is a beautiful, vibrant red rooibos tea, hibiscus, clove, cinnamon, nutmeg. Again, reclamation of the holiday spices, right? Cinnamon, the warming spices, right?
And we know that clove is a healing property. We talked about this the other day. Right? Okay.
Right. So it's prepping us, getting us ready for this 7-day adventure through the principles. But we take that cocktail, and I'm gonna save this. I'm not going to spoil it, but we flip that cocktail and make it a two-way drink and do some pretty cool things with it with the number one whiskey brand in the country, Uncle Nearest.
Catch it while it's hot.
Come on.
That's projected to gross $100 million this year.
Let's
you heard
go.
It on Front Page.
So
Black
we do
owned
do
and
that.
Operated.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And my favorite part about this series, when Food Network kind of laid it out to us about what the plan was, and we were talking with Cecile and her team at Best Wishes, you know, they were like, listen, we're doing micro content. And as a strategist, I was like, you know what? At first, I was like, oh, man, this is the first series. Why don't we have 30 minutes an episode? And then I thought about it and I was like, you know what? A micro content episode is going to be able to reach people across multiple platforms. It's going to be a small bite, a huge savory bite, and a mousse-bouche, if you will, of an offering for people to digest and receive Kwanzaa and
Come
food
on.
That is culturally affirmative. And so, you know, we're excited for people to receive that. So we're starting it off with a two-way cocktail.
I heard the hell out
you know,
of
it. And ending it with this beautiful, vibrant Caribbean inspired peanut stew with cassava
I'm
and
hungry.
Ginger. You know, we got some black eyed pea fritters in
feed
there.
Feed me, Seymour, feed me.
We got some Good Deeds greens.
Oh, Mikey likes it.
Right? And then we got some collards. We got some fried donuts in there. Okay, we came with the sweetness a little bit, you know.
Because you know when you got some savory, you need some sweet. I'm talking to the people that like to eat.
And that's the name of my sister's radio show on WURD Radio, another Black-owned radio station in Philly called Savory and Sweet. I got to shout it out to her. The
yes,
alignment in here is crazy. Are y'all hearing the alignment?
But what I really need you to hear, what I really want you to hear, you remember what she sounded like when she first came in the studio, right?
I was a little tired, y'all.
Do you hear her now? It's the Dawn Day effect.
It's the effect.
I'm just saying. And because we're talking about your excitement, right?
Yes.
What makes you so excited about this series? Like, what really, like, when you think about how this series mighty and strong, because we know inch by inch life's a cinch, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you so excited about this?
I am super hyped about this series because it is a love letter to my people. It's a love letter to my culture. And that in itself is enough.
But why you gotta get all seductive like that?
It's true. It's true. It's a love letter.
It's really a love letter for me because I like to eat.
It's a love letter.
So it's
letter,
like foreplay
y'all.
For me.
It's a love letter, you know, and I want us to really be brave enough to examine our creative offerings as that, right? What letters are we writing to ourselves and to the future generations to find and pick up about our time here?
Because we're here for a good time, not a long time. So we got to make it count.
Right. You know, you talked about visions and vision boards. You know, being an executive producer was always something that I wanted to do. When you and I first met, you met me while I was endeavoring to do what I did not know at the time was production. Okay.
Okay. So let me tell you, I didn't tell y'all. So I met Kenya probably, that's about 5, 6, 7 years ago.
Girl, it's going into 2023. That was 2015.
Dang. So about, what was it, 8? Don't be trying to do no math. Stop. Anyway, it was earlier on. And so I met her on this show entitled Curvy Style with Timothy Snell. At the time, it was on Centric, but it's also known with BET Plus. And so I was an assistant to a stylist who styles my person I admire. I want to say idol, but she's everything Queen Latifah. When Queen Latifah come up in the studio, know that Dawn and damn lost her mind. Just know we turn it up.
Right.
Anywho. We met on the set of this company, and it was all about uplifting women and how they show up as far as their apparel.
Exactly.
And so I had the opportunity to meet you at Parlay.
So Parlay was my traveling civic engagement think tank that y'all styled me for.
Yes.
And we packed the Reef building downtown with 500 black and brown millennials and Gen Xers who gathered together in a conversation about how they can be civically engaged. And on that panel, we had people like Jason Lee, OG,
what?
Right? We had people like the sisters, the Wright sisters, who are event producer extraordinaires. We had Nakia Phoenix. It was an amazing panel. But I didn't know at that time that was production, right? Mm. But I transitioned and learned that was the case. But
You still allowed yourself to show up to be seen, and now you're taking it to the food network.
You know?
Here now, here's the thing. Let me ask you this. Now, you just sat here and discussed a lot of foods mm-hmm. that are from our culture, from
yes.
home, that actually help us move with more intention. Are there certain foods that we probably should avoid during this time, or as black people overall?
Well, you know, let me answer that question this way and say that with this menu, we were very intentional to... This menu is free of any preservatives, right? No preservatives. This menu is free of, processed foods.
Does that mean that this is expensive? Because groceries are already high.
I understand. We tried to keep
but
that
they
in
got
mind
farmers
as well.
Market. If you got your EBT, stop playing with me, because they do it at Whole Foods as well as Trader Joe's.
We tried to keep that in mind. The most expensive thing on the menu, we did kind of dive in. It's the holidays, right? Everybody
right.
wants something delectable. We did get some spiny lobster and some nice fish, and you know what I mean. We did do that. It's the holiday, big Kaumba feast on the final day. We kind of wanted to lean in there. And the spices that we use in a lot of these things, as y'all know, spices are pricey.
Well, they know because they go up to Simply Wholesome right up off of Slauson. So.
But if you're going to buy it from a black-owned place that sells the spices, y'all.
Come
so,
on.
You know, keep that
keep the money
the
in
cooperative
the
economics.
Come on.
Uh-huh. See what I did there?
Cooperative after my
okay.
What does that mean? I never heard that.
Well, cooperative economics is one of the principles of Kwanzaa.
Oh.
Yeah. Ujamaa, cooperative economics. We feel really, really good about, the fact that this menu is void of the things that can harm us, that are present in a lot of the food that we consume blindly with trust that because it's available to us, it is for us.
Come on.
So this menu, that we are trying to make this menu super available to folks in ways that we can receive it quickly on your phones, on your computers, in small bites, while you're on your break, watching it, walking to the car, sitting in the waiting room somewhere, you just a few minutes to watch it and receive it, go to the store, buy those ingredients and make these dishes with your family and your loved ones, and really love yourself from the inside out.
I'm noticing on this show, as they're getting on this, you're going to have some special talent, some guests.
Yeah, I'm
so recognize
excited.
Two of them. I know Blue Talusma.
That's right.
I was working over at Premiere. And then I also was in a series. Have you guys heard of For the Love of Jason? It's on All Black TV. I know your girl is in it. Check it out. Season one. Kareem Grimes.
That's right. My brother. Yeah,
How did you pick the talent and how that come about?
Everything about this series is
black.
Yes, it is black, but it is also authentic. When I got the call, I've been working so hard and so long, Dawn, on this, and my tribe has watched me.
Come on.
Has watched me and supported me in this. And so when we got the opportunity to do this and I placed that call, every single person from the crew, who decided to crew up for this, to the talent, everybody was like, Kenya, we've been waiting on this. We see you. This is your shot. We got you. So I went to my family and my friends. Taja's my best friend. Taja V. Simpson, star of BET's The Oval.
Oh, hey. Hey, girl. Baby, we need to get you in here, girl.
Right? She is on the series Blue, amazing culture writer and contributor.
Pundit. You got to check her out. Blue is
amazing.
I need to have her on because she's good at astrological signs. And
oh,
Zodiac.
Blue is incredibly gifted and talented and one of my favorite humans. Everybody connected to this are some of my favorite humans. Then we had, Chef Brittany Sticks Williams, who is an incredibly accomplished culinary behemoth, from the Caribbean. Ooh. And she stepped in here. And that's the other thing, you know, Kwanzaa is a Black American holiday, but it is intended to celebrate the entire diaspora. So the guests that we chose also are folks, you know, who have, you know, cultures within Black culture, right? So, you know, Blue brought, you know, her, you know, Cuban and Haitian, heritage to the show. And my girl Taja from, you know, Louisiana was like, listen, we gonna make these greens and they gonna have to be good enough for me to take home to my spice. Louisiana table, you know. And Kareem, you know, born and raised in LA, you know, brought that, you know, SoCal vibe. And you know, my dad is also a son of South LA.
What does your daddy bring? So he up here cooking up stuff at the school board and also in the kitchen.
You know, what's funny is
Dr. Thomas, I see you.
Yeah, Dad, Dr. Parham, President Parham, he likes food very much, but we've never really seen him in the kitchen like this. And so I got to tell you, when we were behind the scenes watching him be my sister's sous chef, I was like, you know, Dad, you sous chef awfully well. Why have we never seen this like this before? We are incredibly excited. But he made a cassava peanut stew with ginger and with Tanya that was amazing, but also a little spicy. And so, you know, one of the behind the scenes hilarious moments is that it's probably the spiciest dish on the menu. And it was by no intention that we made our dad eat spicy food. So he was sweating.
And
sorry,
oh,
Dad, we love you. We didn't mean to do that to you, but you listen, it was tasty though, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh my, this is awesome. So it's coming out September 26th. Okay. So housekeeping is here. We're about to get kicked out of the studio.
Oh my goodness.
You got to tell us. So December 26th, we have the Kwanzaa menu airing on
foodnetwork.com. Foodnetwork.com, the Kwanzaa menu. You'll also see it all across Food Network channels. And if you're searching it on the socials, hashtag Kwanzaa menu, that's K-W-A-N-Z-A-A menu, M-E-N-U.
Legacy. And I'm sure some people have heard some amazing stuff about you, Kenya. How can they follow you personally on social media?
I am at Kenya T. Parham. That's K-E-N-Y-A, letter T as in Thomas, P as in Peter, A-R-H-A-M on all social media platforms. And I just, you know, thank you so much for having me in studio today. I've had an amazing time talking about this project and just feeding off of your energy. The Dawn Day effect is real, y'all. I'm here to testify.
You better catch it one and all. And
producer Vani, thank you again for everything, you know.
That's Dorian.
Dorian, amazing to meet you and look into your green eyes. Thank
I'm
you so
telling
much.
Them eyes, baby. And then Jeremiah got you from at the car garage.
He sure did. Thank you, Jeremiah.
That's
I appreciate it. Amazing team. Y'all
I'm
are doing some
you,
great
the dream
work.
Team. We here on KJLH.